From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, September 6th. I'm Abby Larico. This time of year, many students back in school are reestablishing routines after a summer break of recreation and relaxation, unless they're farm kids looking toward their own careers in agriculture.
Even though I don't get to do as much as other kids we get to do in the summer, as in hang out with friends or going to the pool and stuff like that, what I have is way more important than that.
A look at improving the path for young people going into farming coming up after the news on The Gateway. New crime numbers released this week for the city of St. Louis have Mayor Tashara Jones touting an ongoing drop in homicides. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman puts the stats in context.
As of August 31st, there had been 106 people killed in the city. That's down slightly from last year and represents a drop of more than 22% compared to the same time in 2022. While most neighborhoods in the city saw homicides decline, there were several with large increases. In downtown West, 9 people have been killed so far, up from 1 last year. Dan Pister is the chair of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. He says the mayor has worked to address specific problem areas.
But the high-profile incidents cause some downtown residents to think otherwise when people say crime is down.
St. Louis's homicide decline is below the national average. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Drivers on Interstate 44 between Rolla and St. James will have to put up with construction a while longer. The Missouri Department of Transportation is pushing back the opening of all lanes that had been planned for the end of the month. MoDOT engineer Eric Abbott says there are problems with joints in the concrete in the new eastbound lanes.
We want to have a quality product that's going to hold up long term. And with some of the issues that we found with our inspections out there, it raised a red flag that we need to look into this further.
Abbott says the contractor will have to pay for any needed repairs. He also says MoDOT won't have a timeline for completion of the $50 million project until more testing is done to determine the extent of the problems. A Cole County judge ruled Thursday that the ballot language for Missouri's November abortion ballot question is, quote, unfair, insufficient, inaccurate, and misleading. Madeline Fox has more.
Ballot language is supposed to be a true and impartial summary of the constitutional amendment question before voters written by the Secretary of State. Amendment 3 asks voters whether to establish a constitutional right to abortion. The abortion rights group Missourians for Constitutional Freedom filed a challenge to Secretary Jay Ashcroft's ballot summary last month. His version included a line saying the measure would, quote, prohibit any regulation of abortion. In his decision, the judge sided with the group and provided rewritten amendment language. It clarified that abortion can be restricted after fetal viability. I'm Madeline Fox.
A federal judge has rejected Illinois' bid to end court oversight of its disability services. Capital News Illinois reports the state claimed it had met the terms of the 2011 Ligas consent decree by increasing the number of people served in family and group homes. But legal advocates argued shortcomings in crisis support and specialized care continue to prevent people from living outside institutions. Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman agreed. She noted in her Friday ruling that while the state has made significant progress, it still hasn't fulfilled all of its promises. The Illinois Department of Human Services says it's proud of its progress and is reviewing the order to determine next steps. The legal agreement followed a 2005 lawsuit alleging Illinois failed to support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in moving out of large institutions. Union health workers at the Illinois Veterans Home in Quincy say the state's method of hiring workers leads to understaffing at the government-operated facility. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports members of the local chapter of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees say the state's centralized hiring system takes too long.
Illinois operates 5 homes for veterans. The Quincy facility is the state's largest with approximately 300 residents. Workers at the home are state employees. The state's centralized hiring department is in charge of posting jobs. Jennifer Huddleston is president of the union that represents nursing assistants at the veterans home. She says the centralized hiring makes the application process take longer, discouraging potential employees.
The system that they have does not work. It doesn't work. When it takes 4 to 6 months to hire somebody, by then they've already found a job and gotten comfortable.
A representative from the Department of Veterans Affairs says the state's working as fast as possible to hire people after reaching an employment agreement with the union earlier this year. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick says his office has no immediate plans to audit charter schools across the state, as the American Federation of Teachers and state lawmakers had requested last month. They say it's unfair to audit the St. Louis Public School District and ignore charter schools, which are also funded by taxpayer dollars. AFT Local 420 President Ray Cummings says lingering questions need answers.
When some of these schools closed, they would have millions of dollars in the bank. And there was no public accountability of where that money went.
Fitzpatrick says the request isn't considered a formal complaint since it wasn't submitted through the auditor's whistleblower hotline. St. Louis Public Schools is trying to address its teacher shortage by recruiting educators from other countries. The district is participating in a cultural exchange program to help bring more teachers into the district's elementary and middle schools. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Seth Owusu moved from Ghana to St. Louis in late July. He left his family and home to start teaching third grade at Dewey International Studies School. Owusu is one of 21 teachers participating in the district's first cultural teaching exchange program. Teachers from other countries will bring their expertise and cultural experiences to 9 district schools for at least 3 years. Owusu says getting an education gave him confidence, so he wanted to do the same for students.
I wanted to turn lives around, build somebody up. I take pride when I know that I had a positive impact on somebody's life.
Owusu says he enjoys teaching at Dewey because he gets to share his home country with the kids. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Agriculture is a notoriously tough career path. Farmers need to be able to take care of crops, livestock, and a business. As Jana Rose Schleiss reports from Sedalia, youth agricultural groups are now teaching members how to manage both animals and money.
On a hot and humid afternoon in the swine barn of the Missouri State Fair in Sedalia, brothers Cole and Ty Murphy keep watch over their 2 hogs. 14-year-old Ty says he likes the hard work.
Every night we're walking them for 5-10 minutes, working hair, cleaning pens. It's kind of like a full-time job with having livestock.
Each summer, the brothers show hogs, cattle, and goats together. 21-year-old Cole says they also plan to spend their careers together on the same family farm they grew up on in Houstonia, Missouri.
The main goal would be to come back home and to help grow and diversify the family cow-calf operation.
The career the Murphys are pursuing is a tough one. Missouri farms appear to be consolidating. According to the Federal Agriculture Census, the number of farms in Missouri has been consistently decreasing since at least the mid-1990s. At the same time, the average acres per farm has risen in the last decade. Cole and Ty are 2 of the thousands of Missouri kids who get firsthand experience through youth agriculture groups 4-H and Future Farmers of America, or FFA. Organizers of youth ag groups say they've been intentional about responding to the stresses the industry is experiencing. So in addition to ag opportunities, they're also teaching financial tools aspiring farmers need. 14-year-old Ty received a supervised agriculture experience grant from his local FFA chapter.
So I have just recently built a barn at the house for my show goats, so that has been one big step.
Rachel Augustine is the director of the Missouri 4-H Foundation. She says knowing agriculture skills are important, but so is understanding a farm's finances.
They have to know how much to feed the animal. They have to know how much that animal is going to be worth at market. They have to be able to manage not only the health of the animal while they're raising it, but also how much it costs to care for the animal.
2 years ago, Missouri 4-H rolled out a personal finance curriculum called On My Own. It's a 6-lesson simulation where students choose a career and lifestyle and practice budgeting.
The reason that 4-H has been so successful over the last 120 years is because it really does incorporate research-backed sort of models for ensuring that youth have the support, the structure, and the curriculum to help them be successful.
As Ty Murphy's experience demonstrates, showing animals is a pretty realistic crash course for young people interested in farming.
Even though I don't get to do as much as what other kids we get to do in the summer, as in hang out with friends or going to the pool and stuff like that, what I have is way more important than that. To me, it's way more important.
When he's not showing livestock, big brother Cole Murphy studies animal science and agriculture sales at Kansas State University. And he's thinking up ways to adapt the family farm.
To just continue to grow income so that we're able to sustain and go on for mine and Ty's kids and grandkids and other generations beyond.
In an era of consolidation where there's pressure to get big or get out of farming, the Murphy brothers say being able to pursue new projects now, before they're out of school, gives them a head start on diversifying and continuing their family farm. I'm Jana Rose Schleiss in Sedalia.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.